And welcome. My name is Keith Anderson. I am the senior pastor of New Harvest Christian Fellowship. We are so glad that you are worshiping with us today. If this is your first time, our prayer for you is that you will be blessed. Church family, I can't wait till we get together and that we could shake hands and get a big old hug and have a cup of coffee together. You know, we're still going to worship God today. He's the God of God, the Lord of Lords, and the King of all kings. And we have so much to be thankful for today. So I'm going to ask you, let's get ready to worship today. Grab your Bible, turn off all of the distractions. A lot of people like to take notes, so get your journal, get your pencil, get your pen, and let's get ready to worship. One of the things that we're finding is pretty interesting is that we have people watching the broadcast all over. We had one, I think it was Pennsylvania. I know we've got one in Florida. I think there's one in Alabama. But wherever you're watching, if you would, leave a comment below because we would just like to see where we're reaching. And we, again, we pray that it would be a blessing to you. New Harvest has always taken prayer serious, and if you have a prayer request, you can click on the link in the comments and give your prayer there. Some people have private prayers, and if that is you, if you would go to www.pearlandnewharvest.org, you could write that prayer request there. If you would like to be contacted, make sure you add your telephone number, and we will call you back. No matter, we're going to pray for you, but if you want a prayer where we would contact you and we would do it together, you let us know because we want to pray in agreement for whatever need that you might have. Another question that so many people are asking right now is, well, how do we give? How do we give to the church? And there's numerous ways. You could do it the old-fashioned way. You could just write a check to the church and put it in the mail. You could write a check to the church and drop it by the church. Or you could go to the website. And our website is www.pearlandnewharvest.org/give. That's one method of giving. Or you could download our church center app and search for Pearland New Harvest. You could also give that way, or you can give by text, and you can text your amount to the number 84321. But before we begin today, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today. We come to you in Jesus' name. It is the name that is above all names. And it is a name, Father, that everything shall bow. And we're asking today, Father, in Jesus' name, that you be with us. That you give all of us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive. Father, meet us at that perfect place of need in our life. We love you. We praise you. And Father, we ask it today. In Jesus' precious, awesome, and holy name, amen. Church, the title of the message today is that He knew it all the time. Now, it's a little different Easter message than most will hear, but I want you to see how much our God loves us. No doubt He sent His Son to the cross, but I want you to see what the Son did even going or prior going to the cross. And it begins in John chapter 17. So turn your Bibles to John chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse 13. It says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Now, church, I want you to see a couple things before we read the next portion of this scripture, is that God has given us joy. If you're a born-again believer, then you and I have the fruits of the Spirit. He's given us joy and peace and patience and love and kindness and gentleness. Now, our Lord cares about us, and He wants us to be joyful. But there's a difference between happiness and joy. Joy is what you have even while you're in the midst of the storm, and we are currently going through a storm. Also, He said, I've given them your word in the days to come, and throughout this time of isolation, that's what we need to build our foundation upon, is the word. But He also said the world is going to hate them because of that, because they're not of the world. And because we're not of the world, God has given us things that the world does not have. But the other piece of this, which is so important, is if you look at that prayer, He specifically says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. See, God doesn't want us out right now. God wants us in this world. But He made us a promise He would keep us from the evil one. Then in John 17, it says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But He said, sanctify them in the truth. See, because we're not of the world, God has literally set us apart, because we have been given the word of God. He said, your word is truth. The Bible says, know the truth will set you free. And then He says, as you sent me in the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. In John 17, verses 20 and 21, it says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me, through their word, that they may all be one, even as your Father are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The world needs to see today that we worship a living God. And He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also believe. And even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, they are also in us. And again, He wants us to go into the world today, and He wants the world to see the power of Almighty God. He also says, the glory which you have given me and I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity. You're going to see throughout this message the need for the Christian church to be unified. He says, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. What you need to understand today is that God loves you. Even in the midst of this coronavirus, God loves you. Now, I want you to look at this course of events. First of all, right after Jesus prayed to be glorified, right after Jesus prayed for His disciples, yet before Jesus was arrested, before Peter denied Him the first time, before Jesus was questioned, before Peter denied Him the second time, before Jesus was confronted by Pilate, before Jesus was sentenced to be crucified, before Jesus actually was crucified, before His death and His burial, Jesus did something for you and me. He prayed, church, for you, and He prayed for me. How awesome is that, that the Lord knew in thousands of years ago that you and I would be where we are today, and the Lord prayed for us, and He gave us the tools that we needed so that we could work past the situation that we're in. Jesus requested unity for all future believers. And if there's anything the church is not today, the church populace, the whole church, is that we're unified. Today you will hear messages where pastors will preach some truth, half truth, sometimes none truth. And what God is wanting us to do is to be unified. He says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I'm in their midst. Church, what is so important when we have prayer time, when we get together, whether you're down here praying by yourself or where somebody comes and puts their hand on your back and they agree with you in prayer, the Bible says where two of you agree on anything that's asked in Jesus' name, he says, my Father in heaven is going to do it. Because where two or three have gathered together, I'm there. So how awesome is it for the visual picture when you and I get together to worship on Sunday morning, the presence of our Lord is with us. There is power, church, when the church is unified. There is power when you and I pray together. Now in Matthew, and again, Jesus knew this all the time. But he says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. See, you and I have been given authority to bind. And we have been given authority to loose. What we need to do today is to bind the evil that seeks to destroy our country. But we need to loose the word of God in a country that is lost. And they're living in blindness and darkness. And church, the Bible says that you and I have been given the authority and been given the spiritual tool to bind and loose. And God says, I've done my part. Now, church, go out and do yours. And what are we to do? We are to bind and we are to loose, so that we could accomplish the will of God. Now, the church today, if God looked down at the church, I think there would be a big tear in his eye. Because the divided church has become a scandal. Again, there are churches today that are afraid to preach the truth because they don't want to offend. And one of the great things about New Harvest Christian Fellowship is this. We are not concerned about being politically correct. I would never want to hurt anybody in our church, but I am more concerned about pleasing my God than anything or anybody else. And we will always preach biblical truths in the church. Now, Luke 11:17 said, but he knew their thoughts. And he said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house divided against itself will fall. Well, Satan is doing everything he can today, from the political system to the virus to whatever it is to split this house apart. And our God is trying to call us back. Our God is trying to get the church's attention so that he became and becomes the one focus and the most important focus. When Jesus prayed, he wasn't praying for the unity of a single worldwide church. He didn't want a church where people would stand in the pulpit and preach their own interpretation of Scripture. That's the problem with the church today. The church has become a Luby's menu. Well, I don't understand this, so I won't preach that. And it's kind of like going down the line at Luby's. I don't want any broccoli, but, well, I will take some green beans. No, I don't want any liver, but I will take grilled chicken. When you and I sit down and we open up the Word of God, you accept it all or you accept it none. That's where we are. And our Lord prayed for us. But let me show you what he was praying for. See, Jesus prayed for the unity of love. And we need to show the love in a world today because there's not a lot of love. Some people go, well, I don't disagree or I don't agree. Come to church. Go to the churches in America today. And you'll see the criticism. You'll see the hypocritical comments. You'll see the frustration with people. Because it almost seems that church now has become all about us versus coming in and it being all about Him, the God that we worship. So he prayed for unity of love. He prayed that there would be a unity of obedience where the church would get together as one and obey God and that we would have obedience to His word. Again, you don't get to accept what you like and what you don't like. If He said it, we do it. If He says don't do it, we do our earthly best not to do it. Again, we don't have the right just to pick and choose, and we have to make sure that we do His will, not ours. And I know that sometimes that's difficult to do. But in Amos 3:3, there's a question. Do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? How can the church accomplish the obedience to the word, to the obedience to God, the obedience to His will, so that we can go out and do what God has called the church populace to do if the church can't walk hand in hand because we're not going in the same place? And I think throughout this time of isolation, God is calling the church back. God is calling the church together to go, let me show you what the world would be like if I'm not in your life. And candidly, I don't want that. I want God in my life. You know, we have a sign at our house that says, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In the book of Revelation, there's an admonishment to the church. He says, I know you inside and out. See, you might try to hide things from each other, but we can't hide anything from God. Because he says, I know you're inside and out. And he says, I find little to my liking. If God looks at the church today, the church has made everything an idol. And God goes, I don't like that. He says, you're not cold and you're not hot. He said, far better to be cold or hot. And then he says, you're stale. You're stagnant. And then this ought to hurt everybody. You make me want to vomit. See, when our daddy would come to us and say those kind of things, you see the frustration that he has. Because we're here today as a celebration that he gave his son to go to the cross for you and for me. He took our place. And he's telling us, guys, you're not... You're not where you need to be. He says, I know the inside. I know the out. I find little to my liking. You're not cold. You're not hot. He said, be one or the other. Let the world see where you stand. But he says, you brag. Oh, I'm rich. I've got it made. I need nothing from anyone. Oblivious, he says, that in fact you're pitiful, blind, beggar, threadbare, and homeless. See, as long as everything's going great in our life, we don't need God. But when things go awry, like the coronavirus, God's the only answer. And candidly, if we could get it in our mind, God is always the answer to any challenge that you and I might have. And when our Lord prayed that prayer, church, He knew it all the time. He knew where we would be in 2020. He knew the challenges that you and I were going to have. Peter says it this way. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The picture that I want you to see, and it's truly a picture of Psalms 91, that says, those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High can abide in or under the shadow of the Almighty. So it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. See, if we're under God, He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our ever-present need in time of trouble. And there He says, I will exalt you at the proper time. See, this is the will right now that we have to deal with. I think God, again, is using what Satan meant for bad, and he will turn it to good because he's bringing people back to him. All the posts on Facebook, everything that you see is focused on God. Today, or the other day, I saw in the White House that there was literally an Easter service where a pastor was praying with our president and Vice President Pence. How awesome is it that we're getting God back in the White House? But see, not only the White House, but we need to get him back in every area of our life, our schools, our courthouses, everywhere we need God. And God is showing us, you need me. And I think the church is finally getting that attention. But then he says, cast all your anxieties on him. I know it's tough times. People are losing jobs. People are sick. People have died. This is a tough place to be. But he said, cast your cares upon me. Because sometimes they're just too heavy to carry, church. But he says, do this because he cares for you. But then he also says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. He said, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Church, we have to be mindful that what we're going through is evil. What we've been going through is evil. Everything that we are going through is almost like the personification of evil. And again, the Lord prayed that prayer and he knew it. He knew where we would be this Easter 2020. In the book of Corinthians, we're exhorted, it says, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. You'll probably get tired of me saying this, but there is such an importance that you come to church on Sunday. Because you are a part of the body of believers. You might be a hand, you might be the leg, you might be the foot, the arm, you might be the mouthpiece. I don't know what part of the body that you are. For the body is not one member, but many. And it is imperative, church, that we get in our mindset that I need to be in church on Sunday. Because I am part of the body and I am part of what God is trying to accomplish. Now, he even told us in Luke, he's now prayed for us, but he's also giving us the tools that we need. In Luke 10 and 19, he says, behold, he means, look, church, I want you to see. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemies, and nothing's going to injure you. Years ago, when I was a police officer, if I stood out on Highway 288, if I was wearing a t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans and held my hand up, I'd probably get run over. But if I had a uniform on and I had a badge on the uniform, the badge gave me the authority to stand and stop the 18-wheeler that would come. And the 18-wheeler would respect that authority that he saw because it was given to me by the state. You and I have so much more. You and I have been given authority by God himself. And our Father says, behold, church, I have given you the authority. Church, we need to understand that we have the authority to tread on the serpents and tread on the scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, you and I have the authority right now, right here, in the name of Jesus, knowing that our Lord is with us, to rebuke the evil virus, and we can put it down because it says we have the authority to do so. And then he promises us, and nothing will injure you. See, Jesus wants the world to see God's work through him, but now he wants to see God's work through us. God is in heaven. Christ sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. when he ascended into heaven, he left with us the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells you and me that once the Holy Spirit comes upon us, that we can receive this miraculous power to do one thing, and that's to be a witness to the world. John 10:38 says, I'm going to do these things, though you do not believe me. See, Jesus did a lot, and they would not believe that he was the true Son of God. I think Jesus did a lot before this coronavirus, and people did not believe that he is the Son of God. But he said, believe the work so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. See, what our Lord wants to do today is to work through us so that the world could see that we are worshiping a living God. That we truly have a God who is alive, who is well, and who is all powerful, and who is asking us to go into the world and to share his story so that people would believe. John 14 says, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, you know, it's kind of like, really, guys, come on, listen. I'm not joking. Listen to me. But he said, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. So we talked about being a part of the body. It's important for us because Jesus now sits on the right hand of God the Father. And he says, all those things that I used to do, you can do also. But not only those things can you do, but greater things than these can you do. And it doesn't mean that there's any greater feat that you and I can do than Jesus did. It just means that we can do more of them. Because if the church was unified, if the church understood who they are and what they have, if the church understood the mission that they had, then you and I could do exactly what Jesus did and even greater things than Jesus did. And then he makes the promise, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. So church, when we do it, we need to ask in Jesus' name, understanding the promise, if you ask me anything in my name, he said, I will do it. Now, this was the first verse that Pam and I learned when we became Christians, but it says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, he who abides in me, I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. See, we have to understand that Jesus is the vine, and you and I are the branch attached to the vine. And he who abides in the vine, and the vine abides in the branch, then we can bear much fruit. Break the branch off, there's no fruit, okay? Because there's nothing to supply it the power that it needs. So he said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And church, the world needs to see the fruit. But we need to understand, no matter where we are today in regards to this virus, if the church departs from God, if the church departs from the Lord, if the church is unwilling to operate within the gifts of the Spirit, you and I can do absolutely nothing. So what did Jesus pray for when he prayed for all the believers? Why did he pray? First of all, is for us to have joy. You know, even before the virus, go look at people's faces today. They don't smile. They don't do anything. We don't exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience. Also, he wants us to understand we're not of the world. You know, if you understood that you're not of the world, but you're a supernatural child of the Most High God, who has been given miraculous power, you would operate differently. Also, he prayed to keep us in the world. We have a task to do. The Great Commission says go, and the church needs to go. But he also said sanctify them in the truth. You know, the world's out there doing their own thing, but if we're a born-again believer, then we have been sanctified in the truth. We've been set apart by that truth. We can use that word as the tools, as our protection to meet our needs. That book is everything that you and I need in this life and in the life to come. And he said that we are to be sent out. There has to be a willingness, church, for all of us to find our purpose in church and to understand that we are being sent out into the world. He wants us all to be one, and he wants us all to be in perfect unity. Because again, how can we accomplish what God wants if one is going one way and one is going the other? Church, he knew this all the time. Now, I want you to see something, and I hope this all kind of wraps this message together. In the book of Matthew, it says, Joseph took the body, which is Jesus' body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. He rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb, and he went away. I can only imagine the despair that the disciples were going through. They had given up everything in their life. They had seen all of their hope go to the cross. They saw all the suffering that he went through. And then they saw him die on the cross. And now Joseph takes Jesus' body, wraps it in clean linen cloth. Understand that he was beaten unrecognizable with a cat of nine tails. His body was absolutely almost to the place that you couldn't recognize him. And then, to make matters worse, he was nailed to a tree through his hands and through his feet. And then he was placed in the tomb. Joseph rolls the stone in front so nobody could get in, and he walks away. And I believe that's where our church is today. I believe that the churches across America today, so many still believe that Jesus is in the tomb. And I think that's why we live defeated lives. But church, there is so much more. In Matthew 27, the official said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that the deceiver," they're calling Jesus the deceiver, he said, "after 3 days, he would rise again." And they're believing that the disciples are going to come in and steal his body. So orders were given to secure the tomb until those 3 days are over. And that's exactly what they did. Now, church, in Romans, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." You have to understand that without Christ going to the cross, without all of the works of the cross, it would have been you and me that would have been beaten with a cat of nine tails. It would have been you and me that we were going to have to carry our cross to maybe till Golgotha. But I know one thing for sure, it would be you and me on that cross, and it wouldn't be Jesus. But our God loved this world so much that the Bible says that he gave his only begotten Son. The wages of sin is death. If you and I would be paid for what we've done in our lives, it would be death. But our God gave us a free gift, which is eternal life that was bought and paid for through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you don't think God loves you, look at this. In Romans it says, "But God demonstrated," he did all these things, but he demonstrated even further his own love toward us, that even though we were still sinners, this happened thousands of years ago, even though we were still sinners, the works of the cross are still important to us today because Christ took our place. Christ died on that cross. And then I want you to see in the book of Matthew, Mary and the other Mary are going to the tomb to anoint Jesus. I'm sure in their mind they're going, who's going to roll the stone away? Well, when they got there, the stone was rolled away. When they looked in, there was an angel The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid." Now that would be difficult to do. But it says, "For I know who you're looking for, Jesus who has been crucified." So we know that Jesus was crucified. We know that he died. Now some will say that he died, that Satan will probably say, "I won." But you will also notice that Jesus said, "Father, I'm finished and I give up my spirit." So Satan didn't kill him. What happened is Jesus accomplished what the Lord wanted him to do, what God wanted him to do, and he gave up his spirit. So now he's placed in the tomb. Mary and them go to anoint him. They go in. The angel's there. Says, "I know who you're looking for, Jesus, who has been crucified, but he's not here, for he is risen just as he said." And I love the next piece of this. He says, come see the place where he was lying. Church, you have to understand that the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let you and me in. But church, here's our part. As much as the angel said, "Come, see where he was lying," you and I, as soon as this isolation is over, we need to go into the world. We need to go, "Hey, come over to New Harvest and let me show you what God can do for your life. Come to New Harvest and we'll show you a God who could meet your needs. Come to New Harvest and God will touch you in ways that you've never been touched before. Come and see." And we need to be the voice to make that happen. Now, church, understanding that you're not of the world. And you've got to first understand that you are not of this world because Christ lives in you. You're supernatural now. Knowing that you have been sanctified with the truth, you've been set apart. You and I have the Word of God that we can build our lives upon. Knowing that you and I have been given authority, God-given authority over the evil one. And understanding and believing that the tomb is empty. And that you and I have been called by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know a better day than today than to take all the tools that Christ died to give. And take all the authority that Christ died to give. And today, 2020, rebuke the virus in Jesus' name. And show the world that you and I worship a living, powerful God. Church, the church might be empty, but so is the tomb. He knew it all the time, and now so do you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, if you could not say to me today, "Pastor, I don't know if I died on this Easter, if I would be in heaven with the Lord or not," in the book of Romans, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Because it's with your mouth you confess, it's with your heart that you believe. So church, if that's one of you that are in our fellowship, if that's one of you that are looking through this broadcast, right where you sit right now, say this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, on this Easter Sunday, I confess that you're my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And I thank you for saving me today. Church, what an awesome day. There is hope in the midst of the storm. You and I worship a risen Lord. And the same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is the same resurrection power that raised you and me from the dead that makes us not of this world. We are children of the Most High God. We love you. I thank you so much for tuning in with us today. Church family, can't wait to see you again. God bless you, and we'll see you next time around.